The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. It is all being revamped now as we are going to be getting ready shortly to release, whatever you want to call it, rebuild, make it better. The website, Motivation and Muscle, Fiorello Barbell, will be all in with it now. It'll be one site, so the identification and all of the packaging now will be all under M&M. We still have the blog, all that, because I know people are right for the blog, have been inquiring. But until Mark is done, we can't do anything because then he's got to copy more stuff over, and I don't want any of that. We want everything to come over clean and be done with it in one shot. So go over. That's going to have five new bullet points to each paragraph. There's 10 paragraphs. You're going to have something even better. Also, too, I'm going to have a 30-day training program, and wait till you see this. This is something that you could literally put in your pocket and add on to it for the rest of your life. It is that good. Power rack, standard training with the power rack, sandbags. In fact, I give you one of the big workouts I do to lift stones in it. You're going to love this thing. Let's see. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. If you like what we talk about here, you know, you're going to love that stuff. And it's all result producing. It's very reasonable price-wise where it's not going to gouge your pocket. And if you need help, I'd be more than happy to help anyone at contact Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and we can set something up for sure with that. Also, motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Rick Brown on here today. I'll bring Rick in momentarily. Go out and just look at the shows I've done with Rick. I'm trying to tell people, you know, everybody's talking about this book, this video. You want to get real, real honest to goodness. It's really training. I mean, you're getting stuff right online that everyone brings their style here. Everybody here is right on the money. I can't say anymore. If you want this type of content, most people are going to charge you for it. Go out and try to buy a book with the number of shows Rick and I have done. You're going to pay at least $25 for a book. You come here and you listen to it, implement it. Rick gives always his stuff out. I give mine. If you need to get a hold of us, that is not an issue at all. So go out there, check Rick out, check anybody out there. I mean, I'll just lay off the first shows. We had James Fuller on last night. Adam Glass was on the day before. Dr. Jeffrey Smith, strong woman Brittany Diamond, Bill Hinburn, Gary Reinl, Will Dinwiddie. We had strong woman Rachel Pyron on here, powerlifter Brandy Holloman, Roger LaPointe, Bud Jeffries, Mike Bruce, just to name a few. That's just a few that are on here. We are the best, man, and we're going to be the biggest in the universe when we're done here, and we'll never be done until they put me 10 feet under, believe me. So go out and look at all that stuff. Also, too, today is 9/11. I don't get real political, but I do send our regards out to all the family members that lost someone on that day. That's something I'll never forget. Whatever you think or feel about it, that's up to you. But I am strictly leaving my condolences from Motivation and Muscle and our family to your families out there. Also, too, I'm going to bring Rick in about 10 seconds, but I heard something this morning. I went and got coffee real early, and there's two guys standing in line, and one guy was, I don't know, they were very upset about something, obviously, about this country. And the guy next to him said, and I'm not going to say the words because I can get in trouble for it, but he said like this. He goes, living in this effing country is a bunch of bullshit. And he like turned and I stared him down, man, because I was like, if you say something to me, I'm going to tear your fucking lungs out. I don't want to hear it. If you got an opinion, good, but out in public, man, you know, use a little bit of discretion when you talk. There are younger kids there and all that. I don't like it. I don't like the trend. No one said that life's fair, but you know what? Go and change it. Stop crying about it. So that's my little rant for right now. But we got Rick Brown on here today, and I'm going to give you some information on this gentleman. Number one, he's a mace training expert, kettlebell trainer, and he's an unconventional athlete. And Rick is a hell of a speaker. I know he's involved in many things of that. And he's a guy that, let me put it this way, you talk to the guy, you know, not only does he know what he's talking about, but he cares about things. And I think now especially it is vitally important we have people like Rick running around, because there's an awful lot of kids and people like I met up with today. They need some help. They really do. And that's all. I'll leave it at that. But Rick, welcome back, brother.
Always delighted to be here. Always a big boost to my career each and every time I've been interviewed by you. I'm very grateful for the opportunity. Thank you.
Well, you're always welcome here. You're part of our family. Anything I missed, websites, anything like that, give it out, and we'll start. We're going to do this show, all the shows we do are dynamite, but we're going to do a thing on Rick's influences, and I can't wait to, I know a couple he told me, but I'm looking really forward to this because I like doing this stuff for a number of reasons, but my whole thing here on the show is this. We want to connect with everybody. We've been talking about this relentlessly, especially for the last week, for sure. We feel we've got something that nobody's got, but that's not even the point of everything. We want connection. I don't need to be texting to you. I want to look you in the eye and speak to you. I know I can't look you, most of us, in the eye because we're all over the country, outside of the country, but I hope my voice will connect and everybody on here. Rick, go ahead. Any websites, anything you got coming up, lay it out. We'll start the show, please.
Okay. Quickest way to get a hold of me right now is Facebook under my name, R-I-K Brown. Very important that you say R-I-K and spell out R-I-K and not R-I-C-K. It's a whole different guy. He's a rapper in London, I think. But yeah, I lost a lot of people to that. So it's R-I-K Brown on Instagram. It's at Mr. Maceman, and YouTube. It's Rick Brown, R-I-K Brown. So those are the quickest ways to get a hold of me right now. Mark's working on my website, and we'll have that up, and that'll be Mr. Maceman. So that'll be a simple way to get a hold of me.
Same Mark I got?
Mark DeGrasse. Great guy.
Oh, okay. Same guy. Okay.
Yeah, he lives about 10 minutes from me. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's easy enough.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, great guy. He's the guy who put me on the cover of a magazine. So if he calls me up and says, you know, hey, I need some help with this or that, he gets priority.
Nice. So, real nice.
So, let's see, a week from today, I'll be in Vegas doing a seminar, a mace seminar at Kettlebell Sanctuary, a mace workshop and seminar. A week from yesterday, I will be at the Las Vegas Convention Center competing in the mace competition for the Vintage Strength Games.
Nice. Yeah. Real nice. All right. Your influence. Okay. You've got the floor, sir.
Okay. First of all, if people don't know me, they have to know that I've been around for a little bit of time. I'm 58 years old. Okay. So when I'm around 10 years old, we're talking 1968. My father had a stack. My father was a boxer during the Depression, and he had stacks and stacks and stacks of the old Ring magazine. And I used to pour through those looking at magazines from the 30s and 40s. And in fact, I remember one, every issue of the magazine would have Prospect of the Month. And they had a one up-and-comer who had won 6 fights. You might want to watch this guy. He's out of Massachusetts. His name is Rocky Marciano.
Ah!
You know, I think, yeah, he was quite a prospect, I'll say. But So I used to watch, I used to read those old magazines, pore over them, and I used to be influenced by the fact that the fighters that they said, generally the heavyweights that they said were impressively built, of course would not be impressively built by our standards today, but men like Max Baer, Jersey Joe Walcott. I was always impressed by the fact that they had a great physique, but that they could do something with it, and that was that was important to me. And I used to see the Charles Atlas ads on the back of the magazine, and I used to pique my interest. And then around 1969, I started watching professional wrestling from the Olympic Auditorium. And I used to watch it on television every week. When I could, I would go down there. It was in Los Angeles, and that was about a half-hour drive for my mother or my father to take me there. But there was one wrestler in particular, and I think I told you this story before. His name was Mil Máscaras, which means a thousand masks, a thousand faces. But he was a masked wrestler, and he had this incredible, incredible physique. So much so that for me at 9 or 10 years old, I thought he was a different race of people. They all had these big bulges, muscular physiques, and they all had dark tan skin, two things that I didn't have. Growing up in Southern California, never having a tan though, but I just thought they were a different race of people. And my older brother told me, no, they're not a different race of people. He lifts weights. That's how he gets these big shoulders and muscles and everything. And I was impressed with that. So I started to learn because Mil Máscaras spoke Spanish. And they interviewed him, and he would speak Spanish. And I thought, okay, I live in Southern California. It's not hard to learn how to speak Spanish. So I practiced, I practiced, I practiced. And I go down to the Olympic Auditorium. And before a match, I have a chance to see him and talk to him. And, you know, I'm like in sixth grade. And I was surprised that I was taller than he was right off the bat. That kind of surprised me. But I was okay with that. I told him in my terrible Spanish that he was my idol, he was the greatest, and he told me it was funny because he said in perfect English, not perfect but in good English, he said, "Kid, you want to speak English? Would that be easier for you?" You know, I forgot he was a world traveler. He spoke French and German and Japanese too. You know, so English was no problem. So yeah, I told him that I wanted to exercise, and he said, "Yeah, you have to lift weights. You absolutely have to find a gym where you could lift weights." And so that started me on that. And then by the time I'm 18. I saved up enough money. I had a job, of course. I started working at 15, but I started, you know, with the cement weights and things like that, not having any instruction, doing the best I can. I joined a gym, and in Whittier, California, I joined a gym there. And there was a great bodybuilder, professional body. He never made it to the pro. His name was Rory Lidlmeyer, same age as me. But he worked out of the gym. He was a big idol for everybody. We all got to learn a little bit from him. But I started unloading once a month. I would unload the trucks that would come into York Barbell's Annex in Whittier, California. And I would unload their freight because I knew how to drive a forklift. And so the guy there let me come in, and he would pay me in merchandise. And his name was Rick Allen. He was an Olympic lifter from the East Coast. And I don't think he was ever famous, but he was about 5'2", weighed around 135. And I remember he could military press 20 to 20 reps with his body weight. It was just incredible. I was astonished by that. So I'm working out at this gym, Olympus Health Club in Whittier. I think it's still there. But a couple of years later, I start working out at Bill Pearl's gym, which was in Pasadena. And that that was a tremendous treat because you have the influence of all these high-level athletes and bodybuilders. And, of course, Bill Pearl himself, who, you know, needs no introduction. He was as five-time Mr. Universe, as great as they were, as humble and kind and polite a man as you will ever, ever meet. And I used to wonder when I was in the gym in Whittier, they had pictures on the wall, and it was, you know, now mind you, this is the late 70s, and everybody was Arnold Schwarzenegger crazy. And I was too. And there was one guy that worked out of the gym, and he used to say, well, he never beat Pearl. And I said, how could you say that? How could you, you know, they're from two different eras. There's no comparison. And then when I went to Bill Pearl's gym and I met Bill Pearl, then I realized why people revered him so much, because of the type of individual he was.
Yeah.
And Pearl and I hit it off right away. He was a wrestler, and I wrestled in high school, and I had a union job at the time, and he was hired to escort workers across a union line during a strike. And because he was just so intimidating of a presence, even though he was a kind and gentle man.
Right.
But we had a lot of conversations, not just about training, and opened my eyes to the fact that you could be a top flight barbell guy and still be intellectual and still be intelligent. And I like that about him. And, but basically, from then, from 78 to 98, I basically floundered as a wannabe bodybuilder. I would say a failure, because I worked as hard as anybody else, if not harder. And I never looked like they did. I don't know. I'm pretty tall and I was lanky, and, but I loved it. It just wasn't for me. I didn't want to do the steroid route. So, so that kept me on the small side, but I always kept reading, and I would read all the works of Arthur Jones. And for a time I got influenced by the Nautilus One Set to Failure type of thing. But what that did was that opened my mind to reading different authors. And even though I was a dismal failure as a power lifter, I read all the stuff by the great power lifters. And I actually had a chance. I had a neighbor who was a Porsche mechanic, and he had a mechanic shop. And one of his customers, I don't know how this guy fit in a Porsche, but his name, you know, you'll remember Dave Shaw.
Just passed away.
Just passed away. Rest in peace. But so my friend tells Dave Shaw that he has a friend who's got a great garage gym, because by this time I'd started collecting the equipment I needed to have a garage gym. I didn't want to drive to Pasadena and train anymore. I wanted to have it all at home. So I had this excellent, excellent garage gym, and I had a leverage row machine, which was basically a torso brace seat that would keep you wouldn't involve your lower back in rowing. You're seated upright, and you grab these handles, and it was about a 5 foot handle. So just the lightest amount of barbell plates felt very heavy. I would use 50 or 60 pounds, and it felt like about a 200 pound row. But when I wasn't using this, I would store my Olympic plates on there. And so I had 445s on there once, which was about, 180 pounds. And I just stored them on there. And that was the day that my friend brought Dave Shaw by my house.
Yep.
And Dave Shaw gets out of this Porsche. I can't believe this huge man getting out of this Porsche, goes over to, because I had the garage door open, he goes over, sits down on the bench, and before I can say anything, he starts repping off with this this incredible amount. I could not believe that a human could do that. Yep. And I used to strap my hands to the handle and do it with 50 or 60 pounds, and he's got 180 on there, and he's just, I mean, it was ludicrous how powerful one man could be. But
he was a real nice guy too. I had him on the show last year, and we were gonna schedule him again, but obviously we lost him. So one of the nicest gentlemen I've ever met. I mean,
he was
really
good friend of a good good bodybuilder named Dave Johns, Mr. America, I think in 1976 or 75. And they trained together at that gym sometimes in Whittier, where I trained. But they were they were a great pair. And Dave Johns too died, I think, in his early 40s. Tragic loss. But what I wanted to say was that when I started reading Arthur Jones, one habit that got me in was opening my mind to different types of working out, not just the three sets of 10. When you read Arthur Jones, you read about training to failure, but it opened your mind to other types. Perhaps other people, perhaps other athletes know something about this this resistance training that we who are dyed-in-the-wool bodybuilders don't know. And around the maybe 1999, I started reading Pete Sisko and John Little. They wrote about the power factor training, and they talked about doing a range of motion of 2 or 3 inches. And I thought, how could that be beneficial? But I tried it. I bought their program, and it was beneficial. It did increase your strength. It wasn't the complete answer to everything, but breaking you out of your mold was very good to jar you and get you to look at different types of training. I was at there was a bodybuilding contest, and I just went to it around 1999 because Dorian Yates was the guest poser. And so I'm waiting for Dorian Yates. I actually saw him lumbering through the crowd. He looked like a mastodon. He was so immense. I mean, he had traps that covered his ears. But there were vendors there selling different things, protein shakes, obviously, and all that stuff. But there was a vendor there selling the Bulgarian bodybuilding system. And I actually got to speak with the guy who wrote the program, and he was very convincing. And so I bought his program. I started that opened my mind up to different rest schemes. I never used to time my rest periods until I read that book, and it was an eye opener, and it changed things for me. But I was always open to trying different things. So around early 2003, 2004. This individual from Russia starts writing in the bodybuilding magazine, Pavel Tsatsulin, and he writes about kettlebells. And I'm thinking, well, I was familiar with, I'd seen kettlebells before, but I thought they were just a different type of dumbbell. And I thought, why would I invest in kettlebells? Because you'd have to buy a 35, a 40, a 45, a 50, and all up just like you would dumbbells. And so I read his book, and I read that, no, you buy just one or two different sizes, and you manipulate the position of your body, and that changes the stress. You manipulate your rest again, or your rep range, and one or two or three kettlebells at most can take the place of 20 or 30 different sizes. And that appealed to me. And so I think I at that time I drove to San Diego because it was hard to find a kettlebell, even though I was in the LA area. I had to drive to San Diego because there was one kettlebell expert there. I went to her gym, Iron Core Kettlebell. And in just one afternoon, I got to see hands-on what kettlebells were, what they could do. And I said, okay, now I know. I sold all my bodybuilding stuff, power racks, Olympics. That sold it. I mean, I was a total convert. I bought the a set of kettlebells. And I bought the training. I had to go to Minnesota and got certified. And I thought that was it. And I absolutely enjoyed it. I always read Brooks Kubik, Bud Jeffries, and Steve Justa during that time. You have to read Steve Justa. If you don't read Steve Justa, you're not serious. Okay.
Yeah.
If you haven't read Steve Justa, go read him and come back and talk to me when you're done. Then we can talk. But I was open to different types of resistance other than just barbells and dumbbells. And that led me to clubs, the heavy clubs, and the light wooden clubs. I gravitated towards the heavier clubs. I liked them. So with a background of kettlebells and clubs, I met Jake Shannon of scientificwrestling.com because I was always looking at his website. I didn't know that he lived, get this, 2 streets over from me. I didn't know where he lived. I'm driving down the road one day, and I see this this truck, scientificwrestling.com, learn to lift maces. And I'm like, what is that? I pulled him over. I said, hey, guy, you got to teach me. Yep. And I found out I lived two streets away from him. And he took me to his house. He showed me the mace. And I, right away, I was okay at it, which is rare because most people, the first time they pick up a mace, it doesn't look good. And he says, so how come you're pretty good at this right off the bat? And I said, well, I do clubs and I do kettlebells. And so then he started teaching me about the mace. He did a seminar, and which was, to my knowledge, the first mace seminar in the United States. But I was grateful that I got to go to it. And I was wondering why I was open to it. I told all my kettlebell buddies about it, and they kind of acted like I was sacrilegious, like I was like I was a heretic bringing something into the mix. And I said, wait a minute, all of you guys came from the bodybuilding weightlifting crowd, and you embraced a new form or something that was new to you. Can't you see the value in this? And they couldn't see it. For the most part, they couldn't see it. So I was a kettlebell trainer certified by the RKC, and I had my clients. One of my first clients was the owner of a company called Budo Videos that they sold martial arts videos. I think he was my second client. And I used to go there and buy, back in the VHS era, I used to buy many different martial arts VHSs. And when he found out that I was a kettlebell trainer, he barely knew what kettlebells were, but he became a client. And after 6 months, 8 months, he's progressing really great. He says, we want to sell kettlebells and we want to do a kettlebell DVD. By then they had gone from VHS to DVD. Excuse me. But he says he wants to do a kettlebell DVD. And I thought, great, who are you going to get? And I'm thinking of all the people in Southern California he could get. And he says, we want to get you. I nearly fainted.
Nice.
Yeah, I was grateful for that. And on the Budo Videos website, they still sell that DVD. It was a kettlebell instructional, but it does have some mace in there. And I started, falling more and more in love with the mace. Always kept with kettlebells, still lift those, still do the heavy clubs, still do a lot with clubs. But the mace was something that just I don't know. I gravitated towards it. It gravitated towards me.
Right.
And I liked the fact, Eric, I liked the fact that it was something that was difficult to learn at first.
Yep.
And yet when you can display a degree of excellence with it, 20 or 30 pounds will humble most people immediately.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Rick, though. I mean, I know we had talked in some past shows about, the weights and all that, and as you gravitated more and more towards a kettlebell and obviously the mace now and all that, what is it about? I mean, obviously it was definitely, you had to go find it, and it was searching for you too. But, a lot of people will ask me, it's like, okay, you do this, now you do stones. What do you look? I like to bend a little bit. I don't do a lot of that because I'm more absorbed into getting overseas and doing, getting the one monkey off my back, and there's a lot of stuff I want to lift stone-wise. And they're like, well, where do you want to go from there? Well, there's a lot of things I want to do, bending anvils, stuff that I try to work in a little bit at a time, but nothing that I can be truly dedicated to, because I'm just a believer in, if there's something you got to do, you got to practice. You got to do it over and over again via repetition and be good. But, you've done a ton, I'll just call it a ton of metal you've used through your life. And I don't think we ever really got into this that deep, but I've always wondered when you talk about that, what was it that just kind of got you to where you are now? I mean, I know I just said the same thing. We go through multiple things, but I can just tell by the way you talk about the mace, how much you really are in love with it. What was that? What was the mace that was just so much better than everything else? Do you just think it was a fit for you, or was it always there? You just hadn't found it yet.
I think what it was that, again, so much of my influence in the 70s and
yep.
80s. Remember, and I'm going to get somewhat angry here, I get a few people angry, but I know you're okay with that. In the 80s,
yep.
the bodybuilding world became hyper-feminized.
Without a doubt.
And okay, this is the radio show with testosterone dripping through the speakers, so I can get away with it. And It rubbed me the wrong way when I would see men standing in front of a mirror and turning to the side and twisting and turning. Women do that when they get dressed. They stand, they face a mirror. They know how they, a guy combs his hair if he has it. And I have a little, but, I used to have some, but, he combs his hair, he shakes his head, he puts his shirt on and he goes out the door.
That's
you
it.
Know,
yep.
And I didn't like the, you know, two or three guys talking about so-and-so, and they'll say, well, yeah, but so-and-so has the best arms or the best legs. And I'd say, best for what?
Yeah.
You know, because he has a peak on his bicep, or he has this, and he has that. And it just, it, I had to be involved in a part of the sport that did develop you, but it developed attributes, and it developed not just strength that, and there's nothing wrong with, of course, the strength that powerlifters develop, but to demonstrate that strength, you do have to have some big, expensive equipment. And I found out about the mace, the clubs, and kettlebells, one or two little pieces of equipment. It could not only train strength, not limit strength like a powerlifter, but I was never good at that anyway. So, but it would be a combination of strength and extremely high level conditioning that appealed to me. And, I like the idea, and something about me, I like the idea that it was, somewhat difficult to learn. Not everybody could do it. That if you had a level of mastery at it, you could display something that, that would make you in at least stand out in a crowd for that, that you had the ability to do that. And, you know, I don't do this anymore, but I did a few years ago when I guess I needed to have my ego stroke, but I would, when kettlebells were becoming a little more popular and you could get them in sporting goods stores, because for a long time you couldn't, but now you can. I would walk into, take my grandson and I'd walk into a store and I'd see a row of kettlebells. I'd ask the attendant there, I'd say, what are these? What are these? And I try my hardest to look as old as I am. I'm 58. And, he'd say, well, these are weights for athletes. And I would go over to the heaviest one, usually around 70 pounds. And he'd say, no, sir, no, sir, don't. And I'd start snatching it really fast. And I'd say, how do you turn it off? How do you turn it off? Turn it off. Where are my pills? Where are my pills? Help me, you know? And then I'd put it down and walk away. And, you know, but after two or three times of that, even my grandkids were like, come on, grandpa, you know, do you have to do this? But
that guy in that store, man, he must've wet his pants when he saw you do that.
I hope not. But, so I see the mace, I see what it can do. I see the heavy steel clubs and by heavy, remember I'm talking about 40 pounds. You know, I've done some work with an 80 pound club, but that takes two hands and so few of our brothers and sisters in iron can do that. I like the fact that it develops you, and it develops attributes, incredible grip strength, incredible heart and lungs. And the mace was just a good fit for me. I've been fortunate to, you know, when I got into the mace, there was one company making maces in the U.S. and probably five on the planet. And now in the U.S., there's a number of them. And I like to think that I've had some influence in that. I started doing seminars only because as a kettlebell guy, I was just another old guy swinging kettlebells. But I started picking up the mace. And people asked me questions and people started, you know, with the influence of the internet, people started asking me about them. So I said, well, hey, I'm going to do a seminar. So a couple of years ago, I started doing a seminar. It took off. It took off to the point where, you know, I've been doing kettlebells for since 2004. And that was fun, but, I do the mace and now in the last 6 months, five countries have had me.
That's awesome.
I never needed a passport prior to that. Nothing I did with a kettlebell made me have to go out and get a passport. And some of the people that have had me into their gyms and into their homes have been guests on your show. Adrian O'Brien, solid gold individual.
Awesome guy.
Pavel Waduto, all the way in Norway. If you haven't been to that gym, you have to go there. I got emotional standing outside of that gym. It was just incredible.
He's a beast, man. I'll tell you, he is a friggin' beast.
he is a beast.
He's unreal.
He is a beast, just like Adrian O'Brien. And they are fine gentlemen with hearts of gold.
Yes, they are.
I'm honored to be in association with those people. But I've been to Ireland, Norway, England, Poland. Both coasts of the U.S. and just recently in Kansas in the Midwest, I was happy about that. And this was all because people want to know about the mace, and I'm I'm happy, delighted to be a part of it. Hopefully I'm the guy who's barking the loudest about it. I like to think that I am, and not because I'm the best at it. We'll find out next week if I'm the best at it. But
You know what the big thing is too, though?
What's that?
What I see with, like, you know, when I talk to Donnie and all that too, with the maces and the clubs and all that, this is how I look at it in today's world. Now, and it can go either way. You know, you can be a weightlifter, but you and I both know it costs a lot of money to buy equipment, all right? So somebody starting out, and we see this all the time because they'll go out and buy all this stuff they don't use, and it's up on eBay for nothing. All right.
Right.
But with a mace and club, not to diminish anything here, they're both really, really good tools to do multiple things, and obviously you can increase the weight in them. The thing I like about them is they're not going to be cheap. You want to buy good stuff, it's going to cost money, but you're not going to even have a third of what it would be to go and set up a decent gym, buy the Olympic bar, weights, et cetera, et cetera. And the thing is, fundamentally, they're such good tools. So I can understand why you've been through the whole thing with the equipment, with the training, with selling, with buying, with starting with something new. So my feeling is, especially with you, you're getting invitations. You're putting seminars on. I think people realize the fact is I don't have to go out and spend $10,000 on a home gym, where maybe I can get away, let's just say, for $500, and I've got two pieces of equipment that we already know are proven beneficial. And let's face it, Rick, unless you're into what you guys are doing with the competition, with using heavier and heavier stuff, they're two inexpensive tools that can really take you places. And that's what I see why they're so attractive to people and why the general populace would be so interested in acquiring them, learning from you or anyone else in this field, and giving them a try. Because they come to me and say, well, I want to get a bench, an Olympic bar, and I want to get, say, 500 pounds of plates. Well, you know, you buy a good bench is going to cost you at least $450, all right? A good Olympic bar, and we're talking, you know, I would say get a York bar. You know, you're talking $350 for an Olympic bar, right?
Right.
So right now you're up to $800. Now 500 pounds a plate. I don't know what they're charging per pound now, but if they're charging $1 a pound, guess what? You got $500 more dollars. So you're not going to walk in there for under. Now we aren't have to talk shipping or anything. You're talking probably $1,800 to get everything there. You know, $18 as opposed to say a few hundred.
Exactly. Like to say spend less on your equipment.
Yep.
Of course, always buy quality. And you mentioned Donnie. That's Donnie Gioffredino of Addicts Club and Mace. Spend less on your equipment and more on your instruction. The instruction will stay with you even after you sell the equipment if you don't use it. But you're going to use it if you get the right instruction.
Exactly.
And look at it this way. Who is going to be doing and performing with it? If somebody buys the best guitar in the world and reads a book, or a guy who buys a guitar he can afford but buys with that quality instruction, he is going to be playing the guitar a lot longer. And I like to use the musical instrument analogy in my seminars, because I don't play any musical instruments. I wish I did, but I tell people, I said, if you hand me a saxophone, there's nothing I can do. I'll probably swing it like a mace because I can't play it. But there are people on this planet, Eric, that can fill a stadium by playing their saxophone. People will pay to come and hear them.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that's ever going to happen with a mace or a kettlebell or a club. It may. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. If you approach your training with the mentality, I am going to master this to the degree that the saxophone player mastered his thing, I'm telling you, it will make all the difference in your training. You will not only progress farther in your training, you will enjoy your training better. Try to make music with your mace or with your club or your kettlebell. Try to, and if it's a stone or a barbell, use that same mentality. Become a virtuoso. Don't just become a practitioner.
No. Hey, look, I look, here's the deal. I've been around this stuff long enough. I've trained with some big athletes. I've trained with all varying degrees of athletes. I don't really care one way or the other. It doesn't matter to me. But the main thing is when you walk into any situation, whether you're new to it or you've been into it, say, for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, the thing that you're going to have to deal with right away is this. Why am I, you know, I ask myself whys all the time. And people, a lot of things that we talk about here, I think, are a little bit different than what others are either listening to or practitioners of. And the big why with me always is going to be, you know, and I ask myself every time I walk in the garage, why are you here tonight? And I will tell you, the answer is always different. Always different. Now, how could that be? Well, every day you're a little different. Every day you're thinking a little bit different. Every day you've had a different experience. So why I was in the gym Friday night when it was 107 in there and the humidity was so bad, I'd stand there and the sweat be in my eyes. I'd have to wipe and to be able to do a thing, okay? Why did I go heavier than heavy? I wanted to. I wanted to test myself. Why? There's another why. Why did I hang in there for an hour when I should have been done probably in a half an hour due to the degree of heat and the way I want to recover? I wanted to see what I could do, what I was made of, what I was capable of. So whenever we get into these endeavors, no matter what it is, whether it's stone lifting, mace work, club work, dead stop squats, we're rocking a power rack for a half an hour straight, whatever it is, like with little Alex, I've got this 15-year-old flipping three different sets of tires now. And I'm going to tell you right now, the muscularity I'm seeing in this kid after 3 weeks, it's mind-boggling. And, I mean, you look at his arms now, and arms aren't going to dictate the size of anybody, all right? But I'm seeing stuff in him, whether it's shoulder or in the bicep and these big veins, and I'm looking at ligaments and tendons that are, like, showing on him. That's what it's all about. And I try to instill this in anybody that comes over is to ask yourself constantly, why? Why am I doing this? Why am I putting myself through this? Why am I going to go here and do this? And eventually, when you ask enough questions, your innate intelligence or people that you are reaching out to are going to form a circle with you, and you're going to grow, and you're going to become one hell of a brand, as I say now, because everybody out there, whether you own a business or not, is trying to brand themselves. Just go out and look on Facebook. You want to see branding, whether you agree with it or not. Everybody is doing branding of some type. And you know what? You can take that brand of you, what you're doing, and make yourself one of the most fascinating persons out to the general public. If you have a business, you can attract more people. If you want more people in your life, positive people that maybe have done what you haven't and are going to teach you or lead you, you're going to get that too. So when we get into this big thing with our influences, with people that we're looking for, we don't even know that are going to appear in our lives, this is what it's all about. We, you know, Rick's put names out there, people that were influential in his life. And like you said, there's people you never even heard of that were very influential in his life. It's the same thing here, the whys, the who. Who's coming in? Who's going to influence me next? Because even though I've been lifting a long time, I look forward to talking to a guy like Rick or anybody on the show because I learn from everybody every time they're on. There's something that maybe was missing or something I've been looking for, and they might say this person or they might say the way they did this, and I'm like, now the bell is rung. And what I've been waiting for, I've found via the show or via out there. So you can become a big influence. You can have influences come into you and change the way you think. And you can do things like, and I'll get right to you, Rick, in one moment. As Rick said, lots of equipment, lots of money. Decided, hey, you know what? I don't like the way bodybuilding's going. Powerlifting I wasn't really great with, but I still went in and gave it the effort. I discovered kettlebells, like them a lot. But then I find the love of my life. I find maces. And see, that's the most important thing with anything when you talk about influence, because we've talked about this so many times on the show. When you have passion and love for what you do, it's not like working anymore.
Oh, you know, no, not at all. No,
not at all.
No.
But you know what? Tell them this, though, honestly. But, and I'm just going to frame this very small. You have had the opportunity now to take what you love, and you never thought probably for a minute until it all started happening was – you left the United States and you got to spread your word all over the map there, Europe, wherever you had to go. Tell me what, you know, what did that feel like, man? You had to feel like you've created some major success in your life, and now you're taking something you love so much, and now you're giving that to people. You know, I know they got to pay to go to a seminar or not, but you're giving something of yourself that most people never do. So just tell me, what did that feel like to you?
Well, of course you have to pay to come to a seminar, but I do give away a lot free on YouTube, Facebook. I wrote a Mace manual that I will email to anybody who asks for it. I've done that. I wrote that because there was nothing in print about the Mace, so I wrote a Mace manual, but and I'm rewriting it. I'll give anyone my old one, and I will just ask me for it, and I'll email it to you. But what it felt like, I remember when I was flying back from Ireland the first time I went there, because I've done two trips there. That was when I was finally able – it's a long flight, you know, and I was finally able to sit back, and I said, well, you did it. You did it. And there was a great sense of self-satisfaction. I couldn't wait to be home to my wife. I bought her a bunch of stuff. I didn't know anything about the monetary system. So I think I know I overspent because I just, you know, they told me what it cost. And I put all these different colors of bills down and I didn't know, but hey, she was happy. Yep. And I said, yeah, I took something I love. And because I told the world how much I loved it and how great I thought it was, people listened, and it's only growing from that. I will say this, that if I can touch on that, I'm not saying I started the movement. I think the movement was started by Jake Shannon. I just took the ball and ran with it. And but I see the Mace, if you want to call it the Mace movement, going in two different ways right now, it's going. Half the crowd or a lot of the crowd is using the Mace, a light Mace, as a movement and mobility tool.
Yeah.
And then the other half are using it for a power and a performance tool. And I kind of like the power and the performance, which means that I embrace Mace competition. The movement and the mobility crowd is flashy and it looks good. But there's dozens of movement and mobility tools and apparatus to use that isn't what the Mace was designed for. I don't want to be so strict and rigid that I'm not open to it. I understand that. But again, jumping on a metaphor of a musical instrument, most of the things that the movement mobility crowd is doing with a Mace, as I see it, if you put a clarinet in their hand, they'd be doing the same thing. And they would get the same effect. But you could do that all day long, and as inspiring as it might look, that doesn't make you a musician.
Right.
Okay, just because you're doing pirouettes and twists with a clarinet in your hand, that doesn't make you a musician. Don't think you're a musician. And if I put a tiny Mace in your hand and you spin around the floor and balance on one leg and do pliés and whatever, you're not a Mace lifter. Okay, you're a movement person. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. But let's just identify it for what it is. And, you know, you brought up Don Gioffredino. He came out with this AdX club. I said, hey, why don't you have an AdX Mace? Now everybody can have adjustable sizes of Maces, and I love it. I'll be swinging one of those Saturday in Vegas, and we're going to see who's the best, okay? It's open to anybody. And I'm 58. I don't think anyone else up there will even be 50, but it doesn't matter to me. Let's go up there and have a good time. We're going to swing it and see how much we can do. I like the performance strength aspect of the mace. Those of you who want to use it for movement mobility, hey, go with my blessing. It's not what I do. But again, the mace was designed to be a somewhat heavier tool for wrestlers to use. People who were involved in throwing people over their shoulders and throwing them to the ground, that's why they started with a mace. Okay. And the mace was also a medieval tool to pound through armor. And when people fought with swords and clubs, and then other people started wearing armor, how could we get through this armor? We'll make the handle of the club longer. Now it's a mace, and we can pound through the armor. And that's the history of this. Today, people don't use it for that. It's a strength and conditioning tool, and that's what I love about it. That's what I absolutely love about it.
Yeah, and the thing is, we're just going to reiterate on this. You're an influence for that, and a big influence out there, because people need to have somebody like that that's done it, that can back up what's said about it, and obviously be a teacher, because I think we're all teachers, especially on this show.
It's interesting. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but when you want to learn something new, whether you're learning to paint, to sing, to run, to dance, or to lift something, if you start learning it with the intention of eventually teaching it, you activate different centers in your brain and you retain more, and your synapses in your brain, if you will use different combinations of how to apply what you are learning. So whether you're learning how to shine shoes, drive cars, or lift clubs and maces, if you approach it, even if you never do instruct people, if you approach it with the idea that I will learn to do this and do it well and be able to teach it, it makes a greater imprint on your brain.
Well, don't you think, I mean, you know, as teachers, as students we all are, and obviously as weightlifters or mace people, whatever, I'm just going to leave it at iron.
Iron.
We call ourselves
good.
iron workers, all right?
Right.
That's the whole point of all this, because, you know, even if you don't know this consciously or not, everything you're doing is being recorded. We know that mentally. All right. And everything you're displaying physically is coming from that mental recording you've had, the things you fed yourself, the things you followed through with, the things that you didn't do. Always are constant reminders in your life of either what you've done or what maybe you should have done and how you have to rectify situations. And this is a big thing that a lot of people don't understand with the things we do here. And this is why, my opinion, the more I talk to people, whether it's on the show, outside of the show, read articles, just gather information, because I love just gathering and reporting, is this. The majority of people are stumbling all over. It's like you got the lights off in the house, and if you're not looking right, you know you're going to stub your toe on something or walk into something, or you could potentially fall. This is how I kind of equate it to what's going on in our industry. There's a lot of people who don't know, and they don't go out and seek the answers, or they seek it off an article, or they got to watch one more video. They never go and stick their toes in the cold water. They're afraid to. It's always one more, one more, one more. You're not going to get through anything you want to learn and do and be successful with. And I don't care if you're competing or not. That doesn't mean to me you're a success. What matters is how you put the rubber to the road with what you do. If someone comes up and asks you about it, you can articulate it in a way they can understand. That's very important. I think that's one of the things we do here better than anybody. Everybody here is very well spoken. They have done what they're talking about, and they know how to articulate whatever we are on subject, on point all the time.
I think Eric, that the reason for that is because you deal with people who are passionate about what they do.
I do too.
If you're not passionate, you will not pursue it to the degree, and you will not be a flag waver for it. I never claim to be the best. I'm pretty damn good at what I do, but I've never claimed to be the best. But I will tell you one thing: I am absolutely, hands down, no questions asked, the guy who loves the mace more than anyone on the planet. And until they bury me, I will be that guy.
Well, not only that, though. See, the thing is, though, you can put it across in a good way. See, I just know, by the way, when we talk, I've heard you before in other things. See, this is how I look at a lot of things now, Rick. you don't have to be the strongest guy in the world, blah, 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 blah. Because there's a lot of people that are very strong that can't speak syllables very well because they don't practice things like that. It's not important to. Sometimes the guy or gal that might not be in the top five is the teacher, is the one that can explain, is the one that can produce champions. Now, it's always nice to be number one, believe me. I don't want to be second to anything. But it's also nice when you can create a legacy and create a business and help people and offer solutions where, you know what, how long are you going to be able to ride on the coattails of first place for something that was big, say, 10 years ago? You're all done. You've been forgotten, or they might remember you, but it's not important anymore. But in 10 years, if you've produced five champions in 10 years, and I mean legit, that's what you're going to be remembered for. Those are the ones that are going to want to interview in a magazine or interview on a show like ours. Those are the people that have left something very important when they leave the world. They've made it better. They've created better athletes. And these athletes, with my hope, are going to follow by example, and they're going to lend it to the next generation coming up. That's what, to me, influence is all about. I had one guy here, Craig Morrison. He was a very good nationally ranked bodybuilder slash, I don't know if you'd call powerlifter, super strong. And he used to work with us a lot at the Y. He'd probably be, I bet, in his at least 70 now. He was quite a bit older. But he was somebody that was just built. He wasn't overly tall. He's probably no more than 5'8", like 230. Powerhouse. I mean, a power plug. And you want to talk about a presser. This guy could put anything dumbbell-wise overhead. He was a great bencher, all that stuff. Good legs, the whole thing. But what he did with us always, and, you know, we used to always screw with the older guys at the Y, and they beat us up and shit or chase us out and all that. But what happened was, over time, we started learning from them and started giving them a little more respect, and they started giving us respect. And these just common guys that weren't in magazines, that were the local guys that were big. It was like in the neighborhood, you always knew such and such his name. And it was like, man, that dude's big as hell, all right? And that's the way it was. Their influences broadened all of us so much more when we were little kids. And most of the stuff that we got in shit for with them was our fault. But, you know, it's like the old lion and the young lions coming up. They're going to test you until eventually one day they want to take you. And they knew that. But the thing was, we had a commonality and something that you talked passion again before. A passion and a love for something that would influence me for the rest of my life. This is why I'm in what I'm doing. The influence of everything we've compacted together and crunched together in the last 25 years now is Motivation and Muscle, is Fiorello Barbell Company, is are we going to have, you know, constantly, I was telling you offline, we all going to go to Iceland, Scotland next year? We're talking a trip. All these things that are going on are from the influences, good, bad, or indifferent around you. And whether they're major people or they're just people that you know from the gym or from your neighborhood, these are all the things that coil everything together and make you what you are. And you don't have to own a business. You don't have to be a world-class lifter, a world-class mace, anything. But what you have to be is somebody that can take what you've learned and plug it right into your life. And when you can do that, you don't have to be anything at that point. You can be the best entrepreneur. You can be the best guy at wherever you work. And you use those influences and you use that drive to become the best you can be in whatever you do. So,
absolutely. Eric, this isn't something that I do. This is something that I am.
DNA.
It is just a part of me. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I'm evangelical about it because of I know that you pick up a club, a mace, a kettlebell, and you apply yourself. You've got to apply yourself. You can't do this casually. Okay. You could casually walk into a Mick gym and sit on the benches and the machines. You can casually, you can't casually lift a mace.
And
you pick it up, you apply yourself to it. And in a brief amount of time, you have developed attributes, qualities within yourself that take you from being a nobody to a somebody. And I absolutely believe that with every fiber I have.
Well, I do too. You develop a skill that is untouchable because it's something you've worked at to build. I agree with you totally. We've had these talks the last few shows. We don't know where it comes from. My brother and I had a long talk about it. We feel it's DNA. I don't know what it is when you're falling out of the clouds coming here. Someone is throwing the iron dust on you. And then you get a little taste of it, and it's in your blood, man. And there's no way you can differentiate that from who you are, because I always say, though I'm not in the gym right now, I'm about 50 feet looking at the front door of it, it never leaves me. All right, maybe I've got to plug in a little different. Maybe I've got to act a little different. But you don't think all that iron, all that stone I've built over the years isn't coursing through my bloodstream right now? You'd be dead in the brain if you didn't think that.
That's right.
So there's no separation. I've been trying to tell this and explain this to people outside of what we do. And they look at you kind of funny, but I always try to put it to them in a way where I'm hoping they're going to think about it. And the next time I hear from them or run into them, they're going to say, I think I got it, man. I think I realize now what you're saying. See, when you can establish those things, what we do, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it becomes easier. It becomes more tolerable to understand how you're doing it and why you're doing it. Do I want it to be easy? No, there's nothing that's worthwhile in the world that's easy. It doesn't matter what it is, weights, clubs, et cetera, et cetera, relationships, anything. But the whole point of the matter is once you can get a little bit of grasp on what this stuff's about, it's only going to enhance what you are and make you that much better. That's where we are lacking. You know, like I said before, you know, there's a million books out there on using your mentality. But you and I are talking about things using mentality that I don't read much or hear much about. This, to me, and I'll shift it to you and we'll wind it up. The best teacher, I think, this is me, because I've been doing this for so long now, learn to train alone for a while. Learn yourself. Learn the innate possibilities that are within you internally. Test yourself. Take whatever life's throwing at you out in that gym and beat it back down. And when it beats you back down, you beat it back down 10 times harder. You do that for a number of years, you not only are you going to build an independent mind, but you're going to have an independent body that at any point in time, even if it gets slapped down, it's going to be able to stand back up and win. When you can master things like that, and it's going to take a long time to do that, don't let anybody tell you, you know, $1,000 for a 90-day mental program, you might as well throw your money out the window going 100 miles an hour. Right, yeah. It's not going to happen. But when you got the guts to go out in the most extreme weather, the most extreme cold, snowing, out in the desert, you know, when Steven Santangelo's telling me he's up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere, you know, basically one time collapsing and waking up, that's what makes the measure of what you're going to become. And people say, well, that's foolhardy. You don't think stepping out in the middle of the street to cross the street could be foolhardy? How many people I've read lately here in my area that have been run over and killed? Look, the bottom line is this. Everything's going to have danger to it. But the thing I see with most people that do what we do, it's almost, I'm going to speak for me, I welcome the danger. Because the danger is like almost like a drug to me. It's like something I got to have. We were talking with Adam Glass the other day, and it was like, what would you do without it if you weren't doing it anymore? And I said, probably get put away. I don't know where all this energy and this aggression and fire. I mean, I use a lot of it with the business, but it's different than being out there and slugging it out every time you're out there. I don't know. I don't know how I could ever funnel all this out of me, and I don't want to, because this would be like cutting my arms off if I tried to do that, and I'm surely not going to do that. So you're in a catch 22 with a lot of things all the time, but I got to tell you, and I'll give it to you, and I want you to summarize everything. Here's what I'll say to you. It sure feels damn good, man.
I can't imagine.
Right.
With all the creativity I might have, I still can't imagine not being enamored in this and doing this and being in love with it. I just can't. It's my identity, okay? And so like, if you took it from me, I just don't know. I can't even imagine it. And you know, the greatest compliment that I like to hear is not that, wow, you're strong, you lifted a lot of weight. No. Because there's always going to be a lot stronger. I like to hear, and I do hear it sometimes, you make it look so easy.
Yeah.
And it's not. I went over, I tried to pick one of those up, and it's not. And you made it look easy. Well, you know what I tell people in my seminars, Eric? I say you're about 1 million reps away from doing it. And that's not a joke. I train the mace 3 to 4 times a week at about 1,000 reps at least to work out. And so it took me about 8 years to get 1 million reps. And I'm working on my second 1 million now. That's the thing. I can't imagine not doing it. I can't, I love doing this. I love displaying it and telling people that you just master. It doesn't have to be a mace. I choose the mace, but it's got to be something of iron, right? A club, a kettlebell, a barbell, not a machine, but something that you grab with your hands and you display your ability to do. That's the passion that makes me wake up, stay up late, and get up early.
Think about this for a second. What is it that you grab? I mean, when you grab a piece of iron, anything, man, and you feel that go through your skin and your bones and everything, and it connects right to your central nervous system, and it's saying, okay, what are you doing to me? What do I got to do? There's nothing like it. I've played organized sports for years. As much as I like them, there's nothing I'll ever touch what I do here, whether it's weights, rack, stones, bends, whatever I'm going to do, because I'll tell you this, they use the word primal way too much, but there is that primal connection. But the biggest thing is it sets those nerves off through the brain. And when you have that type of connection through your body, the world is going to be a hell of a better place for you. It's when you shut things off or you feel there's no merit to it because, oh, I don't want to be some big weightlifter. Or who cares about being strong? And all guys that are strong are bullies. It's all excuses. Yeah, there's people bad in everything out there. I dare you to tell me there's not. But I'll tell you right now, anybody out there from 5 years old to 105, if you haven't done it, take it up. Take a few steps. Get into it. Get real primal with it. Learn. And just keep executing. If you do that and make a habit of that, as we say, you know, we want repetition, repetition, repetition. Like Rick's saying, he nails 1,000. Now he's going for 2,000. Why? Obviously, he wants the challenge, but he wants the betterment of himself too. You keep exhibiting your life and living your life like that. I will put the stamp right from this show on it. It is this: anything you go after, you will have success with. I promise you that, because we're doing that right here and right now. A lot of people make comments. They see things when it's out on social media. They're like, what the hell are you doing, man? Are you even sleeping? Yeah, I'm sleeping, but I'm also dedicated to getting all the information we can out there and growing things to the point where you're not going to have to go anywhere else but M&M. Because not only are we going to have the finest people on here, whatever these people sell or do, you're going to have the opportunity to meet up with them. And that, to me, is what I've searched for since I started lifting many decades ago and could never find. And that, you know, you'd find a few people here and there, a few holes in the wall that maybe you could stick your finger and plug into, but never to the extent I feel we are right now and where we're going to be in the next 30 years. So, Rick, I'll leave it at that. Summarize anything. Give out all your information. I'll give out mine, and we'll be ready for next month.
Great, great. I'll summarize it by saying find what you love to do. Dedicate yourself to learning from the best that you can find, the best instructors. Pour yourself into it, and it doesn't take hours and hours a day. It takes a little bit of time, but it does take that time. You talked about training by yourself. It is important. You've got to fall in love with it. If you don't love it, get out of it.
Yeah.
And do it with the attitude that I'm going to do this. I'm going to master it. Absolutely. There's no turning back. I am too deep into the jungle to come back without my prize now. So that's it. If anyone wants to, you know, I do travel, I do seminars, I do workshops, and I teach people how to use a mace and how to use a mace to get strong and healthy and durable. Yep. And enduring. And I love to travel. I love to meet new people, and get a hold of me on Facebook or Instagram. Instagram, it's at Mr. Maceman. Facebook, it's on my name, R.I.K. Brown. And I love talking about this, and this is my life. I love doing it.
Me too, man. It's like this. I said the other day, and everybody was saying the same thing. I said, you know, everybody loves to use therapy. I'm this, that, I'm the other thing. I need this, that to get through the day. You want therapy? Listen to this show or get on here with me, and you will free yourself of everything, because I know no one that's ever said to me they didn't feel better when they left this show.
Well, and no, that's the guy's of course, it's a testosterone boost. It drips through the speakers. I love that. I love that quote.
That was Russell Furman, and I remember when he sent that to me, Rick, I was like floored, because I've had a lot of cool things said to me about the show I could have recorded, but we are so testosterone driven here. It's like when he said that, I said he just nailed it right on the head, and it was a great thing. And, you know, just to make something quick before I give my stuff, we've had this girl, this woman on before who's exceptional, and you don't have to be a 6'8" guy to be able to handle a mace or anything, kettlebells. We've had Donica Sturino on here.
Oh, yeah, I've trained with her.
Tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny woman, man.
Tiny, but powerful.
Very powerful, and she could hammer most guys, man, I'm telling you. So don't ever be afraid on taking new challenges, and don't let anybody tell you you're too little or you're too weak or you're just not set up for it or you're going to hurt yourself. Let's just stop all the BS here, man. Let's just go out and do it. You've got the opportunity. Don't sit and squander your life. Just don't do it. I hope I didn't interrupt you. Did you get everything out, Rick?
I got everything out. I will be in Las Vegas next weekend. And that's the big, the Mr. Olympia contest will be there, and at the convention center, all sorts of things, health and fitness and strength and iron will be going on there. And one old guy swinging a mace.
Okay. Well, the old guy. Yeah, but he's still swinging it good, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
This is Motivation and Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and download the Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle free ebook. Just drop it down and get on with it. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are the two biggest pieces of material that we've released to date. Everything is done here. Nobody writes our content, and nobody ever will. Everything here is real world experience and success. That's all we strive here for. And we don't tell people they can't do it. We tell them they can do it. And we always coordinate and build programs that will enhance them. Because everybody wants to use cookie cutters for everything, whether you look at schools now, you look at business, you know something, go out there and be the leader. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit, and we're going to have some more shows on that. So go out there. Also, motivationandmuscle.com, as I said, go out and look at all the shows Rick and I have done. We'll have this show up. It might even go up today. I think it's going to, because there's going to be a couple things today I got to do. Let's see. If you'd like Rick and I to do a particular show, go out to Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. You can get a hold of me there. Leave anything you want on Motivation Muscle. I want comments. I really want to know what you think. You know, you can send me an email what you think, but please keep it civil and no language. All right. I won't even look at anything that is going to be anything that I don't want to even read or pass on any of the people who are our family here who, you know, do shows with us. So be professional. Leave that to the gutter. I don't care about any of that stuff. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them inspirational advice, anything like that. I've said this a million times, and I'll say it to the day we sign off. Five words can change your life, and I know Rick can attest to that. It is, you don't think that people are listening to you and watching you. I'm telling you, I've had people tell me that. I didn't even know that were around me. People are watching you. Be very careful how you conduct yourself. Seriously. And especially if you have a business, it'll kill your business faster than the word kill. Literally. We got into this with a buddy of mine that owns an Italian import place. He's been in business for 12 years and is super successful. And I believe he has three other stores. And this guy grew this stuff like nothing. And we got into reputation the other day, and he said the same thing I said. He goes, you can have social media, you can have the greatest writers in the world, the greatest marketing team. You screw somebody over, word of mouth will bury you and literally finish you. So be very cognizant of what you're doing. Also, too, my mom always said, you know, say hello. Don't be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get. And I think that's more prevalent today than ever. Also, too, if you're going to lift, crush it, twist it, squat it, press it. Let's see, what else would I do? Pull it. We'll even throw the mace in today.
Swing it.
Mace it. Swing that damn mace, man. Yeah. Swing it, throw it up to the moon if you can do it. But do something. Also, if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. That's what I love. You know, we were talking about that. There will be days out there when I'm lifting stones where it feels like it's going to break me in half, man. Those are the days that you become great, when you see it through. Don't wait for the good times. Live both of them, man, because there are no bad times. There's only learning times, and you will get there. Also, too, as I said before, the Houston Steel Crusher Stone in blood red says domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We follow no one's, and as I've always said, too, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. I live by those three words. I've explained them a million times. I'm telling you right now, think about those three words, because you can get many, many places when you have that attitude. And I've got a few things I've added on to the show that I feel are very important, and people that have been very influential, obviously, in my life. Frank Klein, who to me was the greatest college professor I've ever had. Frank was mainly all my business courses, because I have marketing / IT. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Big man, semi-pro football coach. And when a few of us walked in the room, we connected right away, obviously, because of the weightlifting. One of the greatest, by far, hands down, probably the greatest teacher I've ever had. Secondly, my dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. Those were words he drummed into my head, among many things. I can never thank my father enough, and I wish every day he was here with me, because he would have enjoyed what I was doing. My father was a confidant I never worried about saying things to. And also, too, he was like a conciliar in The Godfather. He watched his kids like hawks, and he was a gruff guy, but you always knew where you stood with him. And to me, that's more important than anything nowadays, especially with the business. And then John Ridge, he was my chiropractor for years. He was a father figure to me. I used to go over there every Friday afternoon, get adjusted. But what was more important was the conversations we had for years, man. Whether we agreed or disagreed, we always shook hands and walked out. And he was very instrumental in pushing me with this business. And I can never thank him enough. And here's the big class act about John. He was a man's man, but he was a gentleman, too. And I mean a gentleman. But he wasn't a guy you screwed with, believe me. And he would walk every single patient out, because he had a second house where he did it. He would walk into the door and say two words that still make me smile like crazy and can change your life right like that. Keep smiling, he said to everybody. I can tell you days he'd say that to me when I was like coming off the wall with stuff, and I swear to you, my whole temperament changed the minute he would say that to me when we walked out. So, John, like everybody here, I miss you all immensely. I can't wait till we meet again, because if you don't know, you're going to know when I tell you about what you've done for me. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by, and tell 100 of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the fucking thing in. Excuse my French, but I'm feeling very passionate right now, too. Rick, excellent show. Thank you for being on, sir.
Thank you. It was an honor. And anytime you want me on the show, I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I appreciate that because we know where we stand with a lot of people. And you just heard what I said. It's vitally important to have loyalty. It's vitally important to know where you stand with people and just produce the best stuff you can. But when you and I are talking or anybody, we have that mutual respect and we just love what we do. And this is why you're hearing from people that just walk and listen to the show now. Why I've been told this at least a half dozen times already. Because you bring a fire, you've got personality, and most of all, we can tell you love what you do. People can always smell a rat and a phony. And I'm telling you right now, get ready, because next year, the next 3 months are going to be wild here. Wait till you see 17. So like I said, we'll have Rick on next month with us. Everybody have a great rest of the weekend, but go out and live life and know this. I don't care what anybody tells you. Every one of you have greatness in you. And if you don't go and explore it, don't leave the world without finishing up. I'm telling you, you will go away with regret. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Rick and I will talk to you, and we'll start right back up tomorrow morning. And keep on going.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.